This is the 7 o'clock retort. A full half hour of... What's that?
That is the West Coast String and Brass Ensemble, under the baton of Herbert Alpert, performing Carretero de Mexico.
Is it finished?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. This is the 7 o'clock retort. A half hour of the news you never heard before.
WVBR, may I help you?
Yes, could you tell me the score of the Yankees-Angels game?
Could you hold on a minute, please?
Yeah, all right, I'll hold on.
I have to go on the air.
This is the 7 o'clock retort. A half hour of the news you never heard before. Compiled and edited in the WVBR newsroom, Obie's Diner, and various rooms, apartments, and hallways on and around the Cornell University campus. We hope you will accept the following in the same spirit in which it was prepared. Good, inoffensive, international, national, and local humor. All references to living persons have been made in the most innocent and lightest vein. That is to say, the 7 o'clock retort was prepared by a group of college students having some good, clean fun.
Yeah!
Premier Ian Smith's rebel government in Rhodesia has announced establishment of diplomatic relations with the state of Alabama. Mr. Smith stated, "We view this move as a great step toward international peace." Reached for comment, Governors George and Lurline Wallace said, "We hope to set up a cultural exchange program between Alabama and Rhodesia with the cooperation of the USA, the Union of South Africa, that is." Rumors have spread about the capital lately that the Wallaces, Premier Smith, and South Africa's Prime Minister will meet soon to discuss plans for a confederacy. Ian Smith commented, "It's all in the planning stages. We have nothing down in black and white yet." When asked about the political setup, Wallace said, "We're certainly going to insist on our states' rights. Within this organization, we're going to remain separate but equal. That is, we shall be apart but tied." Mr. Wallace said that he has already designed the new flag. It will be orange with purple stripes. Reporters asked Mrs. Wallace why her husband had chosen such an unusual color combination. Lurline replied, "Well, after all, George is colorblind." Lyndon Johnson lashed out today at Newsweek magazine. The president was heard to say, according to one observer, "I look with great displeasure at very untimely articles about my family circle. U.S. News and World Reports are more important to the nation, that is, to our new republic, than these inquiring stories about my daughters, which, although they may be true, are not an accurate commentary about life and make me mad. It is this trash that, as a reader, I cannot digest." The president then put his hand to his lower right side, touching what may have been an old war wound. Remarked Lady Bird, "Lyndon had us in stitches when he read the article." Murder, it may be said without fear of contradiction, is no cause for celebration. But when there is no murder? Chicago police reported no murders were recorded in the city between midnight Saturday and midnight Sunday. Commander Francis Flanagan of the homicide detail commented it had been a rather long time since there was a similar period. In fact, he said, "It has been so many years since a similar thing has happened that I can't remember when it was." Flanagan was asked if he could explain such a happy circumstance. "I believe," said the homicide chief, "the good weather brought a sensation of good fellowship to mankind." A television crew filming a detective story in downtown London today got more realism than it bargained for. The script called for a street chase involving three men in plain clothes and two dressed as policemen. While this was going on, a spectator accidentally got into the act. He thought one of the actors in the TV drama was a real thief and knocked him cold with a walking stick. The actor was taken to a hospital and treated for a large bump on his head. A woman psychologist claims fathers rather than mothers have more effect on the femininity of a daughter. Mavis Hetherington of the University of Wisconsin says the more affectionate and more masculine fathers are, the more likely it is that their daughters will grow into a female. She adds, it is also important that a little girl's father be affectionate with her mother. In other words, her father must like women. The Boy Scouts of America has taken issue with reports that Vietnamese scouts are participating in anti-government demonstrations. The organization said the demonstrators belong to the Buddhist Youth Movement and have nothing to do with the Boy Scouts. In Da Nang yesterday, two American-owned vehicles, a military Jeep and a civilian-operated truck, were overturned and burned by rioting Buddhists. U.S. authorities ordered all American vehicles off the streets and imposed a citywide curfew for all U.S. servicemen. A U.S. operations mission spokesman was asked for comment on the fighting, tear gassing, vehicle burnings, and angry Buddhist statements. Well, this is what he had to say. I would not characterize this as any anti-American feeling. I'll be back with more of the 7 o'clock retort after this message.
Now that spring's arrived and you'll be going home soon, why not stop in at the Cornell campus store soon to see all of the wonderful items still remaining on the shelves? In order to unload the stock of merchandise before the summer, the campus store is having a big 25% sale. That's right, to move this garbage in hopes that you'll leave more money in Ithaca, we have increased the price on every item in our stock by 25% more than we usually do. This is your last opportunity and our last hope. Shop the Cornell campus store and get the same 10% dividend. And here's exciting news. Next year, the Cornell campus store will be expanding its services to include a luncheonette, a bank, and a liquor store. That's the Cornell campus store, conveniently located in Sheldon Court, right across the street from Triangle Bookshop.
The younger brother of former Senate aide Bobby Baker was arrested early today after Los Angeles police found him nude in a tree. Charles Baker, an executive with the Serve You Corporation, a vending machine company which figured in the Bobby Baker financial scandal, told police he had taken some of the hallucinatory drug LSD at a friend's house down the street. A spokesman for the Serve You firm confirmed that Baker was a brother of Bobby Baker. Mississippi Governor Paul Johnson has signed a liquor bill ending 58 years of loosely enforced prohibition in the state, the last dry state in the nation. The action legalized liquor sales as of July 1st. It ended a turbulent era in which liquor was technically illegal in Mississippi, but was sold openly, consumed freely, and regulated through a system of statewide controls and taxes. Dark-haired Nancy Self, representing New York State in the Miss USA pageant at Miami Beach, has won the Best Stage Costume Award. The 25-year-old New York City contestant, a former Albany Tulip Queen, appeared on stage dressed as a spool of thread.
Hello.
Yes.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Could you hold on, please?
Sure.
The 7 o'clock retort takes pleasure in presenting Charles Irwin Chosett.
In the season just ending, I have discerned two major trends in the theater consisting of strangely complementary phenomena. Namely, the overwhelming emergence of the theater of the absurd dramatists as culturally significant and the commitment of today's theatergoer to the idea of repertory. The Southeast Asian Repertory Company is presenting its biggest and most extravagant production to date entitled The War in Vietnam. You may be wondering why it has been so resoundingly panned by the critics, and yet has proved to be extremely popular. First of all, the very layout of the theater itself lends an air of festivity and spectacle to any proceeding, if for no other reason than by virtue of the theater's location. The jungle and rice paddies give the viewer a sense of varied panorama. One does not tire of dull sets or costumes. The variety of both is limited only by the ingenuity of the respective artists, God and Buddha, and one feels they have met the challenge of their tasks with immense resource and imagination. Also, the idea of staging plays with the same basic theme and locale has helped greatly in reducing the physical costs of the production. Because the aesthetics of the play are such as to evoke nostalgia, the otherwise antiquated props lend a certain antique charm to the texture of the production. As for the play itself, I should precede my remarks with the admission that I did not see an actual performance of the original cast's first and most successful show to date, the Nobel Prize-losing The War in Indochina. However, I did see films of all the most significant scenes, and I feel reasonably confident when I compare the two. The compilation of folk material is for all intents and purposes of the same high quality now as before. However, because of the lack of a real structure in any way directly related thematically to the folk material, the outline of the present production too often gives an improvisatory atmosphere. Not a bad objective in itself, but in this particular show it imposes itself on one's consciousness when, to truly succeed, it should be utterly unnoticed, as Horace said, art concealing art. Then why is the production as popular as it is? The answer now, I think, is easy. Folk material is in. Theater of the absurd provides good escape. Entertainment without imposing any cerebral demands on the audience. In addition, ritual is in, and much of the material, through repetition, religious connotations albeit remote, has taken on a mythic element. Besides, the fact that some of the songs in the show have become very popular has helped the show's box office greatly. Songs such as Monk of My Dreams, I'm Carrying a Torch for You, and Shine on Danang Moon, the original cast album now available on District of Columbia Records. This has been Charles Irwin Chosett with a review of the most significant absurd theater production of the year, the Southeast Asian Repertory Company production of The War in Vietnam.
The New York State School of Agriculture at Cornell University, Extension Division, presents everyone's favorite country son, Wild Will, with the Farm Report.
Howdy, friends. This is Will Rogers with the Farm Market Reports. We're featuring hogs today. But meantime, trading at the New York produce market was slow. Nearby green onions were slightly weaker, with New Jersey offerings selling at $2 to $2.50 per four-fifths bushel. Stronger, much stronger, were white onions, $4 to $5 per peck. Well, let's see what in Philadelphia it says here. Trading was slow, and it says that's normal for Philadelphia. I guess it is. Supplies were light to moderate. Asper grass was about steady, with New Jersey extra large bringing in $6.50 to $7 a crate. How about that, friends? Oh, here we are. Here's what we're featuring today, friends, the Baltimore Hog Market. Hog trading was moderately active. Barrows and gilts were steady. U.S. number 1 and 2 190 to 230 pounders sold at $26 to $26.25. U.S. number 1 to 3 180 to 240 pound barrows and gilts moved at $25 to $26. And U.S. number 2 Arkansas Razorbacks were going for $24 to $27 according to tusk length. Well, friends, that's about all the time we got here for the Farm Market Reports featuring hogs. Tune in every day to the 7 o'clock report to hear all the hog noises.
The Collegiate Broadcasting Network and this station present the award-winning Weather Roundup, a complete summary of weather conditions throughout Ithaca. We switch first to the western frontier to Eric Stevens at Obie's.
Hi there. I'm sitting here enjoying a turnover and a Boburger medium well. As for the weather, it's very foggy in here, and I can't see through a window to tell what it's like outside. So we switched next to Steve Marks on the Cornell campus in a phone booth under the crescent at Schoelkopf Field.
Hello?
Who are you?
Could you please tell me the score of the Yankees-Angels game?
Where are you?
In the girls' dorm.
Huh. What's the weather like up there?
It's raining.
Oh, really? Wow. How about that, huh? Thank you for...
Please tell me the score of the Yankees-Angels game.
Could you hold on for just a few minutes, please?
Yes. So
we switch to Steve Marks on the Cornell campus in a phone booth under the crescent at Schoelkopf Field.
Thanks, Eric. Order me a turnover and a Coke, will you? I'll be down in a few minutes. The weather under the crescent is the same as it always is, dark and clammy. But I'm sure it's a lot better downtown. Let's check it out as we switch to Ben Caparosa in DeWitt Park. I'm standing...
Ben, what's wrong, Ben?
I'm standing in DeWitt Park, where the jeers and hoots have been raining down upon the speakers.
Ben, you say it's raining in DeWitt Park?
It's unfair. We switch now to the Elmira Road.
This is John Fodders on the Elmira Road, where the temperature is medium well, the air is underdone, and the French fries are made fresh every day. The forecast for this region is more traffic and a significant increase in radar traps.
More traps?
That's about your speed.
How's the wife and kids, John?
And now for a summary of the weather for the region, we switch to San Diego and Steve Weisbart.
Thanks, John. For the northern and southern, eastern and western regions, south central and west central plains and mountains, rivers, and so forth, the weatherman predicts a chance of showers
snow, or clearing, with light or thick clouds during the day and night. The temperature may range far afield, just as this roundup has. And that's a summary of the weather from the Collegiate Broadcasting Network. The 7 o'clock retort continues now with this moving message from Cuca Motors.
Car sales dropping to an all-time low. Guys like Nader have got to go. In our Fords, you'll ride on air and be much safer than in a Corvair. With all these college kids around, you'll want a car that hugs the ground. Our sleek Mustangs are really hot. Besides, they're clogging up our lot. For economy, here's the latest word. Buy a Falcon, we'll give you the bird. We're next to Volks Parts right downtown. Don't move up to Chrysler, move down to Brown.
And now that famous athlete running Vauders with the sports.
The giant message board at the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball stadium has carried many unusual announcements about baseball, but none to equal that flash to a crowd of more than 30,000 fans last night. The huge electric board after the third inning of a game between the Pittsburgh Pirates and Dodgers Red. Would you believe this? We got the following the other day. Dear sirs, my husband and I will attend the Dodger game Saturday. We've been married a year and a half. I've been dying to tell him something. Do you think you could use your Dodger Stadium message board to tell Bob Cowan that he and Diane are going to have their first child soon? Cowan, who with his wife lives in Los Angeles, shook his head in amazement as he read the message and the stadium organ played Rockabye Baby. The crowd roared its appreciation. Three frogs broke the world record today in the finals of the Calaveras County Frog Jump Jubilee at Angels Camp, California. A frog named Ripple, owned by two Lafayette, California men, jumped 19 feet 3 and 1/8 inches for a first prize, more than a foot better than the record set 2 years ago. The second place winner, Blast, and third place, Laser, also broke the old mark. But Hottie, who jumped nearly 23 feet in a qualifying test yesterday, could do only 15 feet 8 and 1/4 inches today, only fifth place. He might as well have stayed on his lily pad.
Why do so many businessmen fly Slowhawk to Elmira? Because it's too far to walk. Really, though, it's because Slowhawk is the only airline that flies between here and Elmira. Once you fly Slowhawk, you'll see why the motto of well-seasoned travelers is, time to spare, go by air. So next time you want to take a trip, make your flight with Mohair Hawk Lines. Let our expert pilots with many years of experience, Orville and Wilbur, take you on one of our treetop flights to scenic Utica. A thrill a minute in our reconditioned jet-age biplanes, with all the in-flight comforts of a B-52 and the spaciousness of a Piper Cub. While keeping costs competitive, we bring you many features offered only on major airlines, like in-flight widescreen color snapshots and exclusive catering by Big Daddy Submarines. For further information, stop in at our convenient ticket offices in the Ithaca Hotel, in the lobby of Bang's Funeral Home, and at the Tompkins County Airport, where you'll find us right next to the insurance machines. Remember, when other airlines switch to jets, Mohair switch to metal wings. New and exclusive is our non-stop service to the airport from the Triphammer Shopping Center. Our limousine will get you there in plenty of time to wait for your plane, and wait for your plane, and wait for your plane. And wait for your plane.
It's time now for the Big Red Muddle, in which Sam Offside interviews a Cornell sports personality. The subject of today's interview is a bit off the beaten path. Sam?
I'm out here at Chilcoff Field talking to the popular coach of the Cornell track aggregation, and I'll be asking him about the outlook for this season's outfit. Coach, what's the outlook for this season's outfit?
Well, Sam, I think the hem lines will be a bit higher.
No, I mean team's record this season. How will it fare?
Pretty well, I guess. We have a number of returning lettermen, and we've got a number of softs who look strong in the weights.
Good. I've heard that you've got some good softs who look strong in the weights.
Yeah, that's right, Sam.
And those returning lettermen should help out, too.
Hope so, Sam.
How are the wife and kids, Coach?
Oh, just fine, Sam. Just really great.
And what are the prospects for next season?
Well, we thought we'd have another kid. We hope for a girl, and that's sort of all.
No, I meant for the squad next year. Oh, is this for me? Thank you.
Pretty poor next year.
Well, why is that?
They'll be out of shape. You've been slowing the boys down by the way you stand in the middle of the track there, Sam. And would you give me the baton the boy just handed you?
Oh, of course, Coach.
Tune in again tomorrow when Sam's guest will be, whoever he stumbles across.
A 2-month investigation into housing code violations in College Town slums has resulted in the arrest of the landlord, a prominent Cayuga Heights resident. Cornell University's assistant proctor said, "The conditions in the dwellings we inspected were a real travesty. Even though only students live there, they deserve something better. In my opinion, Cornell University's new housing code is designed to ensure that, even though every man's home is not a castle, it need not be a hovel. I feel the owner should be prosecuted to the limit of the law." Ithaca police were finally able to track down the absentee slumlord, identified only as L.T. George. In speaking of his building, the Proctor Apartments, George said, "My apartments are no worse than many other College Town student residences. You can ask the mayor." Mayor Johns had no comment. By George. There's a new name up for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination. At a press conference in Lockport today, William E. Miller announced that he, too, has thrown his political beanie into the ring. Reaction around the state was varied. Governor Rockefeller commented, "I think this is the best thing that Miller could do for the Republican Party." Senator Robert Kennedy, when asked what he thought about Miller's candidacy, remarked, "Who? Does he live in New York State?" And Ithaca resident Darry Allen responded, "Miller? I think she sings pretty poorly, but her records sell. And after all, a candidate runs on her record." Former Ithaca Mayor John Ryan, a 3-time candidate for the mayoralty, has announced that he will not be a candidate for mayor in the upcoming election in November 1967. Ryan told us, "I've had enough of the frustration, the backbiting, the charges and countercharges of fraud. I don't need to be bullied by the people of this town. I'm fed up with local politics." Mr. Ryan announced that he intends to run for the governorship instead. Some weeks ago, WVBR News reported that a study would be undertaken to find out the habits and desires of the residents of the town of Dryden. Today, town officials released the results of that study, which they will use to determine the future planning and development of the town. As their first step, they announced that by next week at this time, the entire town of Dryden will have been moved to Chemung County. In a surprise move, Cornell University President James A. Perkins announced that he will leave his post with the university at the end of this academic year to accept a position with a Midwestern Research Association, Science Research Associates. Perkins told us, "This will give me the opportunity to achieve real stability and security in my life. Anyway, airplane rides have always made me sick." Perkins named as his successor Nathaniel A. Pierce. This immediately caused a reaction among Day Hall officials, one of whom said he had expected to be named to the post. The passed-over candidate announced his intention to organize protest and discussion groups on campus to talk about this latest of important issues. President-elect Pierce stated that he will not allow any demonstrations on the Cornell campus. Quote, "Student protests are a dangerous thing and must be controlled." Proctor Lowell T. George was unavailable for comment. Assistant Proctor Travis said there was no way to reach George because he had already used up his phone call. Debate has already been heated over the issue of how to properly celebrate the week of November 6th through the 12th, which the president annually designates as Brotherhood Week. Mayor Hunna Johns has announced his intention to withhold a parade permit from both the Boy Scouts of America and the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The mayor said, in a statement issued by his office, that he thought the best way to celebrate the week was by not holding any parades or raising any commotion. Sources close to his Hunna the mayor reported that the ban was an effort to check both the Boy Scouts, whose professions of loyalty and trustworthiness the mayor thinks are so much sloganeering, and the VFW, since the mayor is known to wonder, "How are you going to keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Paris?" New York City has its problems with striking printers in the latest newspaper merger. But here in Ithaca, it appears things are going to work peacefully when a similar situation occurs. The big news on campus tonight involves the Cornell University Press and the economics of the printing industry. campus publications have always had a hard time finding advertisers and patrons. Cornell Widow business manager Richard Russo told us, "The problem is that there are so many publications on campus that serious journalists like us can't make an honest buck." Russo's remarks were made at the annual dinner of Pi Delta Epsilon, the National Journalism Honorary Fraternity and Drinking Society, last week. It was at that dinner that Professor Bloom of Syracuse University imparted to the assembled scribes the secret of success in journalism. "To be respected and admired," Bloom said, "three things are necessary. Have gray hairs, for maturity. Wear glasses, for dignity. And have hemorrhoids, for a look of concern." It was shortly after this dinner that the university publisher announced that the Cornell University Press will soon devote its major efforts to the printing of a new periodical, stemming from the recent merger of campus publications, which joined in an effort to achieve financial stability. Roger Schnapp of the former Industrial and Labor Relations Forum stated the new publication will be formulated to reach the widest possible readership. The name of the new periodical and of its parent organization will be the Trojan Alumni Industrial and Labor Relations Engineer, Horse, Countryman, and Cornelian Forum Dialogue News Widow and Walk. Former Cornell Daily Sun editor James Weil has declined a staff position with the National Enquirer to accept leadership of the new organization. The editor of a downtown newspaper said, "It will certainly take a while to get this organization on its feet. By then, our newspaper group should really be able to give those kids a run for their money." This editor said his new group will publish afternoon, evening, and weekend editions under the masthead of the Ithaca Daily Democrat Post Chronicle and Standard Ledger Journal Report and Interoffice Memo. When questioned why there was no morning edition planned, the editor replied, "If we did that, it would spoil the fun of the Sun. We had enough trouble when the Sun let us have Joel Kaplan." Only one day after the community transit system of Ithaca changed its name to Ithaca Rapid Transit, the IRT, its employees have called a strike. Local 1 of the Southern Lakes omnibus workers, known as SLOW, have gone on strike because the membership feels that the new name is not fitting, said Clem Turtle, president of Local 1. He went on to say that, "This new name means that we will have to give fast and on-time service. This may mean that we can no longer take an hour for the College Town to Day Hall run. This may even mean that we will lose our 15-minute coffee break at the end of our 20-minute trips. We can't allow this to happen." The strike is crippling all trolley and subway service in Ithaca. However, a spokesman for the IRT said their Cayuga Heights independent route may be on a half schedule tomorrow. One trip.
Well, that's it. That's the local wrap-up, and that's the 7 o'clock retort. Thank you. In this bulletin just handed to me, it's with the greatest sadness that WVBR must report that Ben Caparosa, an award-winning member of the WVBR news staff, was trampled this evening while on an assignment for WVBR News. Mr. Caparosa was in DeWitt Park covering a story and was giving a weather report from downtown Ithaca. While on the air with a remote transmitter during this evening's weather roundup, Mr. Caparosa was trampled to death by a mob of screaming pacifists. His remains are being gathered together, and we will broadcast the funeral live from the Rock Garden adjacent to Willard Strait Hall on the Cornell University campus. Friends are asked to send donations to the Cornell Radio Guild in lieu of flowers. WVBR announces an opening in its staff. Anyone who is interested in a job as a WVBR news reporter should write to WVBR News, Willard Strait Hall, Ithaca, New York. You have been listening to the 7 o'clock retort, a humorous half hour of the news of the day that seemed particularly pertinent for various irrelevant reasons. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of any continuously responsible and rational human beings, and most certainly not those of WVBR, its staff, management, or advertisers. Credit or blame must go to numerous individuals, none of whom have the nerve to be identified by name. Bless you for listening. And, oh, I almost forgot about that young lady on the phone.
Hello, are you still there?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that game was rained out.
Oh.
Well, thank you for calling anyway, though. Goodbye.
For the time being, this is WVBR-FM. 93.5 megacycles on your FM dial. your fine arts station in Ithaca, New York.